Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I want to say, first of all, Merry Christmas. Can you believe it? Christmas is tomorrow already. Wow. So we better enjoy it while it's here, right? So let's grab a hold of Christmas in the best way that we can by sitting here and being a part of a service and tonight too as well, and listening to the Word of God and trying to get as much as we can out of the true meaning of Christmas. Okay, the title of my message, what is it called? Majesty. Majesty, I love that graphic. My daughter says such a great job. Majesty. I want to talk about majesty today. No, He came. Majesty. He came from above, the highest heavens. And He was king. He was king. He is king. And He always will be king. Amen? And He is majesty. Majesty, sovereign power, authority, dignity, greatness or splendor of quality or character. He is majesty. And here's how He came. Luke chapter 8, 2 verse 8 says, that night, in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, don't be afraid. For I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone here today. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born to you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You will recognize Him by this miracle sign. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a feeding trough. Then all at once, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven, and they all praised God, singing, glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men. And when the choir of angels disappeared back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's hurry and find this word that is born in Bethlehem and see for ourselves what the Lord has revealed to us. And so they ran into the village and found a way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a feeding trough. This is the Passion Version. In Philippians chapter 2, about Jesus, about this majesty, He existed in the form of God. Yet He gave no thought to seizing equality with God as His supreme prize. Instead, He emptied Himself of His outward glory by reducing Himself to the form of a lowly servant, even less than that, into the form of a baby born in the manger. He became human. He humbled Himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and was obedient. He was a perfect example, even in His death, a criminal's death by crucifixion. Let's pray and ask God to bless this word. Father, we commit this word to You today. We thank You for the presence of God. We thank You, Holy Spirit, You take this word and just make it come alive today. So may we receive this word. May we believe this word by faith, and may we apply this word by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ask you a question. How many of you are Christmas crazies? How many of you just love Christmas so much? You know, yeah, it's many of you. You're just Christmas crazy. You're into the lights and the sweaters and the sweaters that light up with lights, you know, and you're into the decorations. You're into everything. Like, you just go for it, right? How many of you are more Christmas humbugs? How many? Yeah, there's some here, right? Some of us are like Christmas humbugs, right? Well, Karen, my wife, is a Christmas crazy. November the 1st, boom! Christmas decorations start coming out. Nativity scene here. Christmas pillows, big red ones on the bed, on the couches. You know, and the Christmas music is playing like Whitney Houston and Michael Bublé. And Bublé, is that how you say that name? You know, and she's all about Christmas. She's a Christmas crazy. But for me, you know, I'm more like Christmas. It's so busy. Let's get it over with, you know? You know, I'm more like the Christmas humbug. You know why I'm that, you know why I tend to be that way? Because I can get caught up. I can get focused on the wrong things that also come with Christmas, right? And because of that, I can miss out. I can miss out on the mystery. Remember that childlike mystery you had about Christmas? That joy, that anticipation? You just couldn't wait for it, right? I can miss out on the mystery. And I can miss out on the majesty of Christmas too as well. Which leads us to this topic and ask these questions like, what is Christmas all about? What is it really all about? Why do we as Christians celebrate it all the time, right? Who is Jesus? Why is he so important? You know, what does Christmas have to do with me? What does it have to do with my faith, right? Why was his birth so important? And so we've got to get an understanding. Understanding all of this is crucial to our faith, isn't it? It's crucial to our faith. So I believe this, that the very first and foremost thing that we must understand about Christmas is this. Point number one. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation. The incarnation. The incarnation simply means into flesh. Into flesh. The incarnation is when the creator of the universe came into flesh. And this is the most incredible of incredible moments in history. This has never even happened. It was unimaginable. It was unexplainable. But it happened. The creator of the universe comes into human flesh. And this is so incredible when you think about it. When you think about it, the one who always existed, the one who was before, he comes. The one who created all. He created the heavens, he created the earth, the planet, the stars, the seas, the skies. He created you and me, right? And he's the one who, he still holds it all together. He was, he is, and he will be forever. This is he, this is he. And this is the one who comes into human flesh, into human skin, and he comes into our world. He is Jesus. He is Messiah, the one who was born in the manger and he was lying in a trough. Wow. You know, in the very beginning of the Word of God in Genesis, God says that he created us to be like him, right? He created us in his image. We were made by God to be like God, right? And he created mankind, Adam and Eve. Why did he create them? Because he wanted to have relationship with them. But that relationship was broken, wasn't it? Through the fall. So in Genesis, God created us to be like him. But in the Gospels, the good news is that God came into the very world that he created, and he came to be like us. That is amazing, isn't it? Why did he do that? Because he wanted to have a relationship with us again. That's why he came. The birth of Jesus Christ is literally the new Genesis, new beginning, the opportunity for God to restore relationship with man again instead of religion trying to be right by performance. Trying to be right with God by trying to follow all the rules, all the commands, all the regulations, by giving of sacrifices by works. God replaced all of that with relationship. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 says about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, he was 100% God. He made himself nothing, and being found in an appearance as a man, he came as a man, right? He was 100% human, and yet he was 100% God. He was 100% humanity, and yet he was 100% divinity, right? The incarnation is literally an incredible miracle, and it, at the same time, it's an incredible mystery. It's all in one. Webster says about the incarnation, the incarnation is the union of divinity and humanity in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is, he was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And Jesus is the only suitable mediator on the cross for us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, and he had to become a man, Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone, because he was man 100%, he was God 100%. He could stand between God and man, and through the cross, he could make a way to pay for our sins, right? Which is incredible. So he could literally buy us back. He could pay for all our sins so that we could be free once again to have a relationship with God himself through his son, Jesus Christ. It was not possible unless Jesus came in the form of a man and God. Amen? Incarnation, an incredible mystery and an incredible miracle all at the same time. And that's why Christmas is such an incredible and awesome event. Because without Christmas, without the cradle, there would be no cross and there would be no crown. Amen? Number one, the incredible thing about Christmas is that it's a celebration of the incarnation. I'll give you one more point. And point two, I'll give you a couple more points after that. The incarnation, whose decision was it? It was Christ's decision. It was his decision. It was God's decision. And it was costly, it was humbling, and it was sacrificial. Philippians 2, verse 7, in that Passion version says, he emptied himself of his outward glory by reducing himself to the form of a lowly servant. He became human. Theologians call this kenosis. Kenosis comes from the Greek word meaning to empty. And verse 8, it says, he humbled himself and became vulnerable, choosing to be revealed as a man, and he was obedient. He was obedient. The kenosis was very, very costly for God. God stepped down from his throne. He removed his robe of light and he wrapped himself in skin. He entered the light of the universe, entered the dark womb. He placed himself in the placenta of a poor peasant girl, and the one whom angels worship was born in the cold night air. And he was laid on cow's hay amid the stench of dung and urine. I say, wow, 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 wow. It was costly, it was humble, and it was sacrificial. And he did it for us because he loves us. The incarnation is an incredible miracle of God. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word willingly, obediently, humbly took flesh and became human. He was born of a virgin. The seed of God was woven with humanity that very night, which was one of 42 prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, at Christmas time, we sing all about the incarnation, don't we? We sing, "Hark the herald angels sing. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold and come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." Right? We sing, "O come all ye faithful." Here's some of the words: God of God, light of light, lo, he abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, begotten, not created, Jesus to thee, all glory given, word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. No, this is what we've got to see. This is what we have to understand. That Jesus was God at the very beginning. He was God. Jesus was God in the cradle. He was God in the manger. He was God in swaddling cloths. He was God when he lived through his ministry days. He was God on the cross. He was God when they crucified, they buried him. But Jesus, he was God when he was raised to life on the third day. Jesus is still God today, and Jesus is God forevermore. Amen? Amen. Here's more. He is Messiah. He is Son of God. He is Son of Man. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the light of the world. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Creator, Savior, Redeemer. He's our Lord. And he's coming back soon. Amen. Not only that, he's the anointed one. He's our Christ. He's our one and only hope. He's our sacrificial lamb. He's our resurrected king. He is majesty. Amen. He is majesty. And because of his majesty, because of the arrival of King Jesus to the earth, three things immediately happened. Number one, heaven was opened with angels singing his presence. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. I wish I could have been there. Don't you wish you could have been there? That would have satisfied me almost for a lifetime, right? Until I got to heaven. And the angels were terrified. It says there was a vast number of glorious angels appeared, and the very armies of heaven. Wow, there must have been like hundreds of thousands of them in the background, right? And they all praised God, singing glory to God in the highest realms of heaven. The sound of those voices must have been absolutely incredible. It sounded like heaven, right? You know, there were supernatural encounters that happened at that time. Angels' armies singing glory to God in the highest. Second thing that happened, creation was shining its light on the Messiah. The very thing that God created was pointing to Jesus, to his coming. You know, the star that was over Bethlehem, star of Bethlehem, was literally pointing the wise men and the shepherds to Jesus. Number three, because of the arrival of the king, wise men and shepherds came to worship from afar. You know, how far the wise men had to travel? Some say up over 1,000 miles they traveled. Some scholars estimate it took them like weeks, possibly months, about months to travel. But the incredible sacrifice that they made was absolutely amazing. Wise men and shepherds came to worship from afar. And this moment of adoration, where the shepherds and kings would bow down and worship him, was actually prophesied hundreds of years before it even happened. Psalm 72, verse 9 says that desert nomads will bow before him. His enemies will fall before him in the dust. The western kings of Tarshish and other distant lands will bring him tribute. The eastern kings of Sheba and Seba will bring him gifts. All kings will bow before him, and all nations will serve him. Wow. You know, scholars actually say it wasn't just three guys. It wasn't just three kings or three wise men. The estimate was more like 100. along with their entourage of camels, servants, maid servants. There possibly could have been hundreds that came in this entourage. You know, and they brought, the Bible says they brought an incredible treasury of wealth to the one they came to see and to worship. Wealth to the king like gold. Gold is a symbol of the deity of Christ. They bought frankincense, which is a symbol of his perfect life that he would live and his incredible holiness. And they brought him myrrh, which is a prophetic symbol of his suffering and his death on the cross. Kings came to worship him. And we think about the shepherds who left their fields, the fields that were overseeing these sacrificial lambs, the very same fields that actually David watched over his flocks. And when a spotless lamb was born, the shepherds would, a lamb without blemish or spot, and they would take this perfect lamb and they would wrap it up in this soft cloth and they would place it right on the hay, because that lamb was the lamb that would soon be sacrificed. And they did that so they could use this lamb as the Passover lamb, the lamb without bruise, the lamb without blemish, and the lamb without broken bone. And this was the lamb that would be considered the sacrificial lamb. We think about these shepherds. Imagine these shepherds hearing about Jesus and going to see Jesus and then seeing Jesus wrapped up in these swaddling cloths. You know, I believe that at that moment when their eyes were fixed on the Savior wrapped in swaddling cloths, I believe within their heart, within their spirit, they said to themselves, "Wow, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God. This is the one who would give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind," right? The Lamb of God. You know, the story of Jesus coming is an incredible story, and there's more that we could talk about it, right? But even of what we learned tonight, or learned this morning, what do we do? So what do we do with this incarnation? What do we do with this information about the incarnation? You know what we do? We worship, right? We worship his majesty. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "Because of that obedience, God exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He has now been given the greatest of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything, everyone will one day submit to his name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. Every tongue will proclaim in every language, Jesus Christ is Lord Yahweh, bringing glory and honor to God, his Father." He has been given the greatest name, and his name is Jesus, right? And at this name, every knee will bow. What did that scripture say? In the heavenly realms, in the earthly realms, in the demonic realms. And every tongue will declare that Jesus is Lord, right? See, I believe our only response is to worship him. To worship him. And I believe to worship him is to believe in him, right? To believe in him. To put your faith and your trust in him. To worship him is to seek him, is to pray and talk to him, have a relationship with him. To worship him is to obey him, right? And to worship him is to love him. That's what it means to worship him and to trust him for the rest of your life. And to worship him is to love him and to follow him, right? To follow Jesus Christ. I believe that when we see what Christmas is all about, when we see who Christmas is all about, our only response really is to worship him. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the Majesty. Amen. If you agree, say amen. 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 Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the greatest gift ever given us, the gift of eternal life, which was given to us, paid for us. But you come into earth, growing up as a man, loving people, accepting people, dying on the cross for our sins. The gift of God is eternal life and a relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. All you got to do is just believe it and receive it. That's all you have to do. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that what he did on the cross was for you. And then just receive Christ. Receive Christ into your heart. How do you do that? Just by confessing him. Just by receiving him and just inviting him into your heart. And you do that just by praying a very, very simple, short prayer. But I promise you, this will be the most powerful prayer that will change you and your life forever. If you've never said this prayer, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Are you ready to receive Jesus? You know, maybe there's somebody here that needs to do that. Maybe there's somebody here that's going to hear this message on a City Light website. And this is for everyone who's heard this message. Are you ready? Let's all say this prayer. Let's repeat. Let's invite Christ into our heart. You repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. Forgive me for all my sins. I believe you suffered on a cross. I believe you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Today, Lord, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. Thank you, God, for the gift of salvation and new life that you promised to give me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you said that for that prayer for the very first time, will you just lift your hand and just raise it and just wave it at me? Is there anyone here? Thank you, Father. Anyone here? Raise your hand. Thank you, Lord, for the salvation of every soul in this place. Amen? Amen.